Renegade Health Radio.
Renegade Health Radio. This is Kevin Gianni with Frederick Patnaud. We're going to be talking about some cool stuff today. Fred, you want to let us in on it?
Sure. Hi, Kevin and everybody. Because it's summer, we want to, you know, we're not going to talk about the summer recipes and stuff like that because we're geeks. So we're still going to talk about the whole old controversies in nutrition. But this is really important because this is something that's been going on for a long time. So we're going to talk about oil and what's kind of the bottom line on it. Is it healthy? Is it not? Because we got a question from a reader. So this topic today comes from a question. So a reader from Italy, Joe, is confused about oil because there is confusion in the nutrition world. On the one side, you have Dr. Esselstyn, who's strongly against oil, even olive oil, and talks about the inflammation to the endothelial lining of the arteries. And he's got good results with his patients getting them off oil. And then the other doctors as well in the vegan world are against oil. And then you've got, on the other hand, you've got Mercola, you've got athletes like Brendan Brazier, Mike Maller, who's a vegan bodybuilder, Gabriel Cousin, and so on, that sort of push high-fat diets. And not all of the fat is oil, but some of it comes from refined sources. So the question is, and also, you know, there's the cholesterol issue. So the entire issue of fat and refined fat, what's the role in a diet? Is it healthy? Is it not? Does it feed cancer? And so on. So that's a question we get. I kind of summarized it from Joe because he rambled a little bit.
No.
It was a great ramble. It was a good question, but I just summarized it for everybody. And so we, you know, we're on target to talk about this because this is a very important question.
Yeah. And the thing about, you know, the oils that kind of, you know, that I look at first, because so you go through this question and there's a lot of different data and a lot of different people, that Joe is pulling from. And the one thing that I want to start off with is that Esselstyn does amazing work, right? I mean, the work at the Cleveland Clinic that Esselstyn does is awesome. The challenge that I have with some of the data, as well as that I have with Dr. Alan Goldhammer too. I love the guy. I love Alan Goldhammer. I love what he does at True North. The challenge that I have is that these people are generally seeing people who don't come from this health background that we do. So if you're listening to this podcast, you know so much. And you know, Fred and I are total geeks about all this stuff too. So we know a lot. But people who are going to Esselstyn, like Bill Clinton went to Esselstyn, right? So Bill Clinton goes there. Bill Clinton, you know, you didn't know a lot about diet, decided to become a vegan based on what Esselstyn instead saved his life, right? So that's a big deal. But I mean, think about, you know, what Bill Clinton might have been eating before compared to, you know, if you or I went there and then went to, you know, say we had a heart problem. I mean, would we have a heart problem? I don't know. But say we went there. We're coming in with different food backgrounds is what I'm trying to say here. So in what I definitely can 100% agree on is that if you're eating crap and you're adding oil to it, no matter what kind of oil, whether it's coconut oil, healthy coconut oil or olive oil or anything like that, your body's going to go haywire. Excuse me here. I'm choking. I was joking with Fred before. I'm still choking on a goji berry seed that I had earlier. But your body's going to go haywire. And so essentially, you know, all these processed foods that you know, people have in their diet, and if they're adding oil into it, that's just another processed food that's going to interfere. And so we have to first separate that from everything and know that the more processed foods you throw into someone's diet, the more crazy the body is going to react, the more likely it is to have disease.
Yes, I totally agree, Kevin. And I think that there is kind of a trend in doing what's easy. You know, like olive oil has become popular because adding olive oil to whatever else you're eating is easy. and it's tasty, and people like to do what's easy and tasty and doesn't change much in their diet, you know? So people think that olive oil is particularly healthy because they've heard it in the media, and they just pour it on top of their crappy diet. And that's exactly like you said. So, you know, there's the question is it healthy? And then there's the question of, would it make a healthy diet even healthier? And I personally think that the answer is no to both questions. In the case of olive oil, and I'm not talking about fat in general. I'm not talking about like fat, like from whole food sources, like you're eating nuts and seeds. Like we could have a debate on that and how much is too much and so on. And I think the more active you are as a person, the more you can eat, you know? And it might be very difficult for someone who's very active, who's very athletic, to thrive on a very low-fat diet because of the calories, because you just can't get enough calories, you know, without consuming some of those calories in a concentrated form. And I think, on the other hand, that if somebody is trying to lose weight, that you should avoid calories that are in a concentrated form, that are very concentrated. So this kind of math kind of makes sense to me. And I think the science is also there to prove that it works, in the sense that if you eat foods with a low caloric density, you're going to lose weight, meaning by that fruits, vegetables, and beans and things like that, that have like between 100 and 400 calories per pound. So, you're going to lose weight because there's just not much space to fit everything in your stomach. So you're fitting lower caloric foods. And the one thing that a lot of people don't get about oil is that it is the most concentrated source of calories ever. I mean, butter, oil, and so on. You can't not have more of a concentrated source of calories. It's like almost three times as concentrated as refined sugar in terms of how many calories are in a tablespoon. It's about 120 calories in a tablespoon. I mean, a tablespoon of sugar is 50 calories. So it is a very concentrated source of calories. And I think that's one of the biggest problems with it.
9 calories per gram. I mean, that's the math that you can do. So Fred, you mentioned weight loss, and I want to just say one more thing about that, because I think what you said was really important. When people go on a weight loss diet, they do take out a lot of concentrated sources of calories. So, you know, if you're on a weight loss diet and one that's working for you, you probably took out processed sugar. You probably took out processed wheat. You probably took out processed corn chips. You know, you probably took out all of these things. But a lot of times the diet or someone is telling you, hey, you know, why don't you add in healthy oils? And that's a processed food too. We have to be very clear about what an oil in a bottle is. It is a processed food. And now, you know, it's almost like looking at, you know, people say, well, you know, don't eat white sugar, but you know, you can eat like, you know, pure cane sugar or something like that, or coconut sugar. I mean, yeah, but it's still sugar, you know, and it's still a very highly concentrated source of calories. So the oil is the same way. Yeah, you know, olive oil is a healthier oil than canola, but it's still a lot of calories that are going into your body. Again, 9 calories per gram. That is a lot of, I mean, that's a lot of calories. And if you're going to try to do weight loss, if you're going to try to, you know, kind of reach some of your health goals, then maybe back off on it. I mean, that's kind of what we're saying. And I eat oil, you know, I do eat some oil, but I'm saying that this is one of those things where when you look at the whole picture, if you want to improve something, it's just to cut back a little bit on the oils, because I think that people are definitely eating way too many of them, particularly if you're, you know, the whole coconut oil thing where, you know, take a tablespoon or two and, you know, scoop it into your smoothie or something like that. No one needs that much coconut oil. I mean, yeah, there's some health benefits to it. You know, some of the medium chain fatty acids, some of the, you know, omega-9s, you know, all these, you know, the antimicrobial aspects of it too. Yeah, I mean, it's okay, but, you know, you don't need to eat this concentrated oil in the name of health, because chances are, you know, you're not going to see that much benefit from it if you're already eating a healthy diet.
Yeah, I mean, and I think that it goes a little bit further too, that in the sense that people have been brainwashed in believing that certain kinds of oils are going to benefit, are going to do things that they're actually not doing, like improve the health of your heart. You know, that's what we've heard about olive oil, is that if you consume olive oil, you're going to reduce your risk of heart disease. And that's absolutely not true. What the studies actually say is if you replace butter with olive oil, you will, you know, lower your risk of heart disease. That's what the studies say. But they don't say that if you take a healthy diet that doesn't contain a lot of butter and then you pour olive oil on top of it, it's not going to lower your risk of heart disease. In fact, it's going to increase your risk of heart disease. So the studies have been totally misinterpreted. And one big study was the Lion Health Study. And they, you know, the way the media kind of took the story and described the results of the study was totally distorted, because they had a group of people that they called like a Mediterranean diet kind of, you know, that was the group. And then there was the control group that was eating a low fat diet. And then of course the Mediterranean people did a lot better, but the low fat group ate 30% fat. So that wasn't really low fat, you know, and they were consuming over 300 milligrams of cholesterol a day. So it wasn't really a low fat diet. It was just like a regular American diet. That's what it was. So they compared a regular American diet to a diet that had less fat, a little bit less fat, 30%, that had less saturated fat, less cholesterol, and then replaced all that butter and so on with olive oil. And they had fish instead of having so much red meat and so on. And of course, you know, they did better. And in fact, they did so much better that they had to interrupt the study because they feared for the life of people in the control group, you know. So it was a landmark study. It really made a lot of headlines. But the fact is that it never proved that olive oil is healthy itself. It just proved that this pattern of eating that we call the Mediterranean diet is healthier than a standard American diet, is way healthier. But it's a combination of a lot of things. But by itself, olive oil is the opposite of a health food for the heart. You know, it's just not true. I mean, and I'm not saying if you consume like one teaspoon in your salad that it's going to make a difference. But the way people are consuming it, the way they're pouring it on top of everything, and like the way Jamie Oliver uses olive oil is not healthy at all. Let's be clear about that.
You know, you mentioned that Lion study, and you know, I was talking to Chris Kresser about something called the healthy bias, which goes into a lot of studies. And you know, when you look at a group of studies, or you look at the people that are in the study, it comes down to, you know, who's eating olive oil, and generally someone who's switched butter to olive oil is someone who's already thinking healthy. So they're generally going to have better results, regardless, no matter what, you know, they're being compared to. So it's just another interesting, you know, way to look at some of these studies. It's like, yeah, you know, if someone has not eaten red meat, generally, and the reason why is because red meat, you know, in the past has been revered. Wait, what's the word I'm looking for? Was revered the word that's like it's been like shunned? Shunned.
Okay.
Revered is the other way.
yeah. I thought you meant the other way.
Yeah. No. It's been shunned in the media. So people who don't eat red meat generally are healthier to start, right? Because they've heard in the media that they're like, oh, well, you know, I shouldn't eat red meat because it's so bad. You know, so that they've made it, they're conscious, you know, health decision maker already. So generally in many cases, you know, the other factors of their diet could contribute to their health, not the fact of like red meat to other types of meat or something like that. You know what I'm saying? So, again, we're holistic here. Like, so we're always thinking like, well, what's the holistic outlook of all this? Well, if you're eating a super healthy diet, you know, and you are getting some good fats from whole foods, you're eating, if you do happen to eat meat and you're eating you know, grass-fed, grass-finished kind of meats, you're going to get a lot of healthy oils from those foods. And you can add a little bit of oil into your diet. It's not going to make or break your health. The challenge is when, you know, you switch from butter to olive oil, but you're still eating some of these all these other processed foods, and you're causing this whole influx of highly concentrated calories and nutrients, macronutrients into your diet.
Yeah, definitely. And I think one more thing also that we should cover is the fact that a lot of the vegetable oils are very rich in omega-6 fats, and they contribute to inflammation in the body. I think they're really evil. I think we could say that. Like, olive oil is more an oil that's rich in monounsaturated fat, and it does have quite a bit of saturated fat as well, like 13%, I think. So I think, you know, you have to be careful, but it's not rich in omega-6 oils compared to the other polyunsaturated oils. So where it gets dangerous is when you start using a lot of the processed oils like safflower, corn, and etc. And you might be thinking, yeah, well, I don't eat these oils, right? I don't buy those oils. But every time you go to a restaurant, you don't know what oils they're using. And generally, they're using those types of oils. So in something, you know. So definitely, I mean, that's a big issue, I think, to the health problems that many people are experiencing is the omega-6-3 ratio. And it's been proven that, you know, some of the oils in, let's say, fish or flax, etc., they're good for you, right? But the other oils, like the oils, generally vegetable oils in general, and I'm going to put olive oil as a separate category, but most other vegetable oil, except canola, because it's more omega-3, but you know, most vegetable oils kind of fall into that high omega-6 category that's really bad for you. It causes inflammation. It messes up the ratio of omega-6-3. It can lead to heart disease. It can lead to lots of problems.
And, you know, for canola, you don't really want to mess with canola just because it's genetically engineered. It's a rapeseed oil is what it is.
Yeah,
what it
but
is.
Just putting it in the, you know, for understanding the different kinds of oils.
Two oils that are, you know, significantly higher in omega-3 than other oils. It doesn't mean that they're, you know, off the charts in terms of omega-3. They have, at least for one of them, it's almost 1-to-1 ratio. Plant oils is sacha inchi oil. That's from Peru. Mm-hmm. So that's the Incan peanut. Sacha inchi is S-A-C-H-A, and then a space, and then I-N-C-H-I. So that's one that has a decent ratio between omega-3 and omega-6. And then chia seed oil, if you can find chia seed oil, that also has a decent ratio as well. But keep in mind, once you squeeze the oil out of a nut or a plant, particularly the omega-3 oils, they can go rancid very quickly. So again, that's another thing to think of. You know, if you're getting these plant seed oils, you need to make sure that they're in dark glass to protect from the sun or any sort of light element, because that can cause it to go rancid. You need to make sure that they've been, you know, bottled fairly quickly and not sitting on supermarket shelves for too long. Making sure that they're always closed tight, making sure that you either put it in the refrigerator or the freezer. You know, there's a lot to know about, and never to cook with them, particularly the high omega-3 plant oils. You don't want to cook with them because that'll destroy all your omega-3s. You really don't even want to cook with olive oil because that starts to disintegrate. I mean, it's kind of weird, right? Everyone cooks with olive oil, but it does start to disintegrate the good fats. But again, if you're eating a really healthy diet, and you're going to put a little bit of olive oil in your sautéed kale that you picked from your garden, you know, it's something that it'll be okay because you're getting your healthy omega-3s, your anti-inflammatory fats from some of the other foods that you're eating. One other thing that I found just to kind of, you know, at least wrap up the omega-3 side, the high omega-3 oils is, you know, in researching for the book that I'm writing, there can be a significant difference in the amount of inflammatory omega-6 oils and anti-inflammatory omega three oils in grass-fed, grass-finished beef, lamb. What's really interesting is that it's almost like the same medium, like so a piece of meat, right? This, the same thing can either be inflammatory or anti-inflammatory. And I think that's where a lot of the confusion about meat is coming from, at least from, you know, a lot of the data, that a lot of the studies that, that people talk about meat being, you know, inflammatory. Well, they don't talk about meat being inflammatory, but they say it's the cause of disease. Well, yeah, I mean, if you have 7-to-1 omega-6 to omega-3, then that's a higher inflammatory type food than it would be if it was a 1-to-1 ratio, which you'll find 1-to-1 omega-6 to omega-3, which you'll find in a lot of grass-fed, grass-finished, animal foods. So huge difference, 7-to-1, 1-to-1. I mean, 7-to-1 is like, okay, you know, that's inflammatory. 1-to-1 is a great ratio of omega-3 to omega-6. So it's not just black or white when it comes to, not only when it comes to meat, but when it comes to oil is what we're, you know, the whole concept of this podcast right now.
Yeah. And I think finally, I'd just like to kind of add something and also propose like a challenge to people. I just like to add the idea that oil is not like a necessary food. Like nobody needs oil. Like you can get fat from foods that are made, you know, that were used to make oil, but nobody needs oil in their diet. It's not like a necessary food or nutrient. So I'd like to kind of propose a challenge to people. Like if you're someone who's consuming oil and maybe you don't like this idea that we're talking about of eating less oil, that you try going 30 days without any oil, no olive oil, nothing. And you see what improves or gets worse in your health. And I can predict that you will see improvements in terms of your weight and so on. So it's just a little idea. Maybe some of you could try it.
Sounds good. Do Fred's challenge. Let us know how it turns out for you.
Bye, everybody.
I don't think we need to say bye.
Renegade Health Radio.